What the high priest accused Jesus of on the night of the trial is exactly what the Sanhedrin convicted Jesus of. And this charge was blasphemy. But when the Jews had to bring him to Pilate, the conversation has to shift. You see, the Romans live in a multicultural society with lots and lots of different gods and beings and beliefs. And the Romans aren't, at this time in history, the Romans are not really what you would call religious. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't get yourself killed by blasphemy in the Roman legions, but for the most part, if you're going to get yourself crucified for blasphemy, you're going to have to do it by denying the deity of the emperor, and you're going to need to be a person of power or authority in order to make this charge stick. Some backwater Jew claiming that the emperor is not God is not news to anybody. Nobody's going to care. Tiberius himself, the emperor at the time, doesn't care either, by the way. Tiberius at the time only allowed emperor worship of his own person at one temple in the entire Roman Empire. He allowed it at one place. He didn't particularly like it. In fact, he worked to restrain the emperor worship and the cult of his predecessor, the deceased Augustus Caesar. When Tiberius died, he was only given a grand funeral, and he was not given any divine honors. So if somebody were to say, this Jew does not believe that you're God, Tiberius himself would have went, so? So they cannot charge him with blasphemy. The best chance they have at Pilate's trial, the religious charge has to be changed. They have to frame Jesus as a political rebel, claiming that he has made a claim to the throne of David. You see, in Rome, you can have many, many gods, but there's only one Caesar. And anyone claiming to be a king is a threat to Caesar and an enemy of Rome. But it's difficult to imagine that Pilate takes these charges seriously. Listen to what he says. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus asks Pilate, do you think I'm the king of the Jews, or did somebody tell you that I was the king of the Jews? Your own nation, a chief priest, have delivered you over to me. What is it that you have done? I don't know. In my mind, I can see Pilate at this point going, you're clearly not a king. What'd you do? Why do they want you dead so bad? Jesus explains to Pilate and to us how Jesus is a king, but like no other king, with no other kingdom like it. At first, Jesus explains what his kingdom is not, and then he explains what his kingdom is. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is not an earthly king with some good old earthly kingdom someplace. He doesn't have soldiers to fight for him. He is not the least bit interested in overthrowing Caesar. This is not how his kingdom works. In fact, he is not interested in his own glory, in his own success, or even his own life. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, and I might not be delivered over to you. And yet it's Jesus who commands Peter to put his sword away. He has gone willingly unto the Sanhedrin. He has submitted himself here unto the Roman authorities. He has offered no defense. It's difficult. It's difficult for the disciples who were really waiting for Jesus to sort of take power and take it to the Romans. They were sort of waiting for something really cool to happen, waiting like so many Americans today, waiting for Jesus to come back and set up his kingdom. Don't get me wrong, I would vote for Jesus if he were running for president, but he's not on the ballot, so I can't. I think he'd be a pretty good president, to tell you the truth. I would love for Jesus to come back and make some things clear, become politically involved. But this is not the kind of king that Jesus is. This is not the kind of king Jesus has ever said he was going to be. Jesus has indeed said that he's coming back to earth, but he's not coming back to rule. He's not coming back to pick up power. He is not coming to set things right and put us back into the places of power. Jesus Christ is coming to judge the quick and the dead. This is what he says again and again. This is not the kind of kingdom that he runs. It's not the kind of kingdom he's looking for us to run either. Now we know that Jesus governs all things in this world today. Specifically, we rejoice that he rules all things for the benefit of his body, the church. And that this rule is often hidden. And this rule is hidden under suffering and the cross. And Christians are not promised anything. We're not promised success, prosperity, health, earthly peace. Quite the opposite. Jesus tells us the other things. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But take heart. I've overcome the world. When Jesus says to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, he trains our heart not to look to this world for lasting peace or prosperity. But let our hearts be set on an otherworldly kingdom. A kingdom that's different. A kingdom that doesn't have physical borders. A kingdom that doesn't have soldiers. No armies, no weapons, no spies, no official stories, no news outlets. Jesus answers this question, so you are a king. And he says, well, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose, I was born for this purpose. I've come into the world to bear witness unto the truth. And anyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. This is what Jesus' kingdom is. It's a kingdom of truth. And this is what his kingdom is, the truth of God. At this point, Pilate's completely out. He balks. What is truth? You can see in the way he says, he's like, I'm out. This is where the pagan governor is filled with scorn, and we are filled with faith. We know that this king is the one. He is the way, the truth, and the life, that his kingdom is not built upon power, but it's built upon truth. His kingdom's not built upon conquering by war, but by preaching the gospel. The sword is not of iron, but of the word. And we enter this kingdom not by submission or being beaten into it, but by faith in this truth that Jesus does not come to conquer us, but to die for us. He comes not to take up arms against us, or even to fight for us, but rather that he suffers for us, and in this suffering he defends our real enemies, which is sin and death and hell. And yet Jesus' kingdom comes. Jesus' kingdom comes with the truth of the gospel. Jesus' kingdom comes with the promise of sin forgiven. Jesus' kingdom comes with the Holy Spirit that presses into our ears and our hearts and our minds. And this kingdom comes with the smile of the Heavenly Father. This kingdom comes with fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. This kingdom comes with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who enlivens our faith. His kingdom comes to us when we are baptized. His kingdom comes to us when we eat his body and blood. His kingdom comes to us when we are proclaimed that royal proclamation of the king that your sins have been forgiven. That kingdom of truth is then spoken upon us. We become members of it. What kind of a king is this? He's the kind of king who came not to be served, but to serve. To be a servant king. Give his life as a ransom for many, for you and for I. This kingdom is a king and not of this world. Jesus is a heavenly king with a heavenly kingdom. And you, my friends, are in it. You are in the kingdom of heaven, adopted by God the Father Almighty, and citizens of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.